بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد Continue reading in the work of Abdullah al-Wadi'iyya حفظه الله تعالى Continuing from what she has mentioned from the chapter of Min Afati al-Lisan, from the ills of the tongue. And she mentioned the chapter we begin reading from this afternoon, seeking the help and the aid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. She mentioned ifsha'u sir, ifsha'u sir, spreading the secrets, spreading the secrets. Asir is something that is hidden, and it is a secret that will be kept between two individuals or between two parties. Asir, the plural is asrar. Asir mufrad wa jam'uhu asrar. Naam, wa huwa ma yaqa'u khufyatan baynaki wa bayna sahibatiki. Naam, that the sir is a secret, it is something that is hidden, and it is something that is not revealed or known to the public or to the people, but it is kept between you and between your companion. Between you and between your companion, or the one that has, that you have entrusted the secret to, or that has entrusted the secret to you. Asir, the secret, it is not permissible to inform anyone about a secret that one knows or has, some information that they have about an individual or about a group of people or about a government or about any issue. If that information was revealed as a secret and it was intended that it should not be spread, then this is an amana. And this is a trust that must be fulfilled properly. And that is by protecting and preserving that secret and keeping it safe and not spreading it. Keeping it safe and not spreading it. And this is the case whether the individual, he says, I'm going to tell you a secret. Or he says, or she says, I have something I want to mention to you, but don't tell anybody. Yani, this is clear, manner of speech here and information, is clear that this is a secret. It's clear that this is a secret. Likewise, if it is something that is known, maybe they don't say, don't tell anybody. But it is known from this type of information that this is not something that the individual would be pleased to be spread, to be mentioned about him or her. Or he would not be pleased if it is spread. Or if it is known by their situation or the condition that they're in, or the state that they are in whenever they mention the statement. For example, they say, come here, don't look around. I want to tell you something. And this individual, he doesn't say, it's a secret, don't tell nobody. But it's understood from the circumstance that that situation or that they are in. Whenever he says, come, don't look around, or like this. Or on the other hand, likewise, if the person who is speaking and revealing this information, if he himself looks around and then he says, come here, I'm going to tell you something. Or while he's telling the information, he's looking around to the left, making sure nobody is listening. And this is something that is seen and noticed from the one who is hearing this information. Then all of this is considered a secret. And it is not permissible to spread that. And it is not permissible to spread that. So maybe they will say, don't I'm going to tell you something, don't tell anybody. Or maybe they will say, don't look around, I need to inform you something. Or they will say, make sure nobody's listening, I don't want anybody to find out. Or maybe they will just not say anything about this directly, but by themselves in the condition. Maybe they're nervous when they're speaking, looking around. All of these are indications. وَقَرَائِنْ تَدُلُّ عَلَى أَنَّ هَذَا الْأَمْرَ تَدُلُّ عَلَى أَنَّ هَذَا الْأَمْرَ سِرٌّ لَا يُرِيدُ فُشُوهُ لَا يُرِيدُ فُشُوهُ. This person, in this manner, it indicates that this is a secret, and he does not, or that individual does not want it to be spread. And the individual does not want it to be spread. So the author now, she is mentioning from those ills and the dangers and those things that could destroy an individual that are performed by the tongue. And meaning those great sins that could cause the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to befall an individual. عِيَاذًا بِاللَّهِ that occur by way of the tongue. يَعْنِي مِنْ آفَاتِ اللِّسَانِ إِفْشَاءُ السِّرِّ that a person will spread the secrets of others. That a person will spread the secrets of others. Before we begin reading what the author she has mentioned, I mentioned some benefits the ulama have collected that are not found in the work of the author, hafidhahullah ta'ala. And from that is what is found in Sunan Abi Dawood, and that he has mentioned in his book, Sunan, the chapter or a book, the Kitab al-Adab, Kitab al-Adab, yani from the Book of Manners, from the Book of Manners. In the Book of Manners, in Sunan Abi Dawood, he has a chapter. He says, Babu Naqli al-Hadith, Babu Naqli al-Hadith, the chapter with regards to transmitting statements and carrying statements and the likes, transmitting statements to others. In this narration, Imam Abu Dawood, he mentioned with his chain to Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhuma that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, إِذَا حَدَّثَ الرَّجُلُ بِالْحَدِيثِ ثُمِّ الْتَفَتَ فَهِيَ أَمَانَةٌ فَهِيَ أَمَانَةٌ that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that if a man narrates a narration, or he mentions a statement, or he talks and he says in his speech something, and at that time he iltafata a nadhara yaminan wa shimalan, he looked to the right and to the left, then fahiya amanatun, then this is an amana, then this is a trust, then this is a trust, and the trust, it must be fulfilled and it must be maintained and it cannot be violated or betrayed. And the way to betray the trust with regards to this speech and this secret and this statement is to spread it and to inform others. Is to spread it and to inform others. Likewise, it also has been narrated from the hadith of Jabir. and has been authenticated by Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, al-majalisu bil-amana, al-majalisu bil-amana, that the gatherings are with the trust. Meaning the information that is conveyed and mentioned in the gatherings that are considered private, or the gatherings that are between individuals, that information, bil-amana, is a trust. And has been narrated that Shaykh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, whenever they would have the gatherings and the majalis to speak about the affairs of the Islamic University in Medina, and he used to be the head of that university, rahimahullah, and they would have gatherings with the leaders and those people in charge and in authority of the jamia, and it would be mentioned that he would say many times in those gatherings, al-majalis bil-amana, al-majalis bil-amana ya ikhwa, O brothers, that the gatherings are a trust. They're a trust in the information that is mentioned therein. So this is something that is known, the information that is spread in private gatherings, whether one or two or three people and the likes like this, or four, even more, but it's not a public gathering, that information should be kept as a trust and it should not be spread. And this is from the noble and the lofty traits of a believer, that they do not reveal the secrets of others, and that they keep and they preserve the secrets of other individuals. This is from that noble manners, the manners of the people of Al-Iman, that they are able to keep the secrets of others and they do not spread them. Because this is something that Allah is not pleased with. And this is something that Allah Azza wa Jal, He has sent His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to clarify that it's not permissible. And that the secret is from is a type of an amana, and is not allowed to violate that trust and to spread that secret. So then the believers, from their traits, is that they keep the secrets of others, and they do not spread them. And they're trustworthy, and they fulfill the trust with regards to this by keeping that secret hidden and with them in their chest, and not spreading it to the public or to the people. Contrary to this, from the attributes of the hypocrites is that they spread the secrets of others, and that they violate the trust, and they do not fulfill the trust, and they do not perform the amana in the proper manner and fulfill the rights of the amana, whether it's with a secret or whether it's with any affairs that they are entrusted to. And if from their traits and their characteristics, ya'dhan billah, is that they violate the trust, and they are known for al-khiyana and betrayal and deceit and treachery. Ya'dhan billah. This is contrary to the believers and the people of al-Iman. The author, حفظه الله تعالى, she mentions, قال الله تعالى, يعني باب إفشاء السر, the chapter of spreading the secret, يعني ما حكم ذلك, نعم, what is the ruling for that, the chapter of that, or النهي عن إفشاء السر, and the prohibition of spreading the secrets. قال الله تعالى, Allah, He has mentioned in His book, وإذ أصر النبي إلى بعض أزواجه حديثا فَلَمَّا نَبَّأَتْ بِهِ وَأَظْهَرُهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ عَرَّفَ بَعْضَهُ وَأَعْرَضَ عَنْ بَعْضٍ فَلَمَّا نَبَّأَهَا بِهِ قَالَتْ مَنْ أَنْبَأَكَ هَذَا قَالَ نَبَّأَنِيَ الْعَلِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ قَالَ نَبَّأَنِي الْعَلِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ. The author, حفظه الله تعالى, she mentioned the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the meaning of which is, and remember whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam disclosed a matter in confidence to one of his wives, and he mentioned a secret. What has been mentioned about this wife that he mentioned that to, many of the scholars of hadith and of tafsir, they mentioned that this is Hafsa. That whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned a secret to Hafsa, one of his wives, and then she told it to another, meaning that what is in reference here is to Aisha radiallahu anha. And Allah made it known to him and informed him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَأَظْهَرُهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ, and Allah azza wa jal allowed the Prophet to know and informed him of the situation. And in the Prophet, he mentioned information sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Hafsa radiallahu anha, and it was a secret, and she mentioned it to Aisha radiallahu anha, and Allah azza wa jal informed the Prophet of this sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At this time, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that to Hafsa, and he mentioned some of what was informed to him, and he left off other parts of that. And then she said to him, who told you this? Who informed you about this? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, نَبَّأَنِي الْعَلِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ, that the one who was all-knowing and well-acquainted with all things, meaning Allah, He is the one who has told me this information. He is the one who has told me this information. So the author, she says, وَقَدْ اخْتُلِفَ فِي بَيَانِ السِّرِّ الْمَذْكُورِ فِي الْآيَةِ عَلَى قَوْلَيْنِ وَقَدْ اخْتُلِفَ فِي بَيَانِ السِّرِّ الْمَذْكُورِ فِي الْآيَةِ عَلَى قَوْلَيْنِ. And the ulama have differed about the clarification of this secret that is mentioned in this verse in two positions. Al-awwal, the first one, she says, أَنَّهُ تَحْرِيمُ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ لِلْعَسَلِ وَسَيَأْتِي الْحَدِيثُ تَحْتَ عُنْوَانِ مِنْ مَكْرِ النِّسَاءِ. She mentions the first position the ulama have with regards to this secret that was revealed or mentioned in this noble verse in the Book of Allah. It is with regards to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibiting himself from having al-asl, honey, from eating honey. And she says, and this narration will come in the chapter that has the title, from the plots of the women, from the plots of the women. So this issue here will be discussed, inshallah, later to come, in a chapter the author, she has mentioned, from the plots of women, min makri an-nisa. نعم, she says in the والثاني, in the القول الثاني, the second position of the ulama with regards to this secret mentioned in the this verse, أنه تحريم مارية القبطية. That it is that he has prohibited himself from مارية القبطية. نعم صلى الله عليه وسلم. والسبب تحريمها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أصاب مارية في بيت حفصة ونوبتها. The reason for him prohibiting her from himself, صلى الله عليه وسلم, that he prohibited مارية القبطية was from his those under his possession, right hand possession, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in sirriyatihi, كانت سرية, نعم, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he had the relations with her on in the house of Hafsa on her day, on her day. فوجدت حفصته, and he وجدت عليه, meaning the Hafsa, she became angry about this. فقالت يا نبي الله, she said, oh Prophet of Allah, لقد جئت إلي شيئا ما جئت إلى أحد من أزواجك في يومي. He said that, oh Prophet of Allah, she said, oh Prophet of Allah, verily you have done something that you have not done to anybody else from your wives on my day. وعلى فراشي, and on my bed. فقال ألا ترضين ألا ترضين أن أحرمها فلا أقربها. He said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, will you not be pleased if I make it impermissible for me to touch her and I will not come near her? قالت بلى, she said, of course. فحرمها, she says, so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made her haram upon him and he prohibited for him. وقال لها لا تذكري ذلك لأحد, and he said to her, do not mention this to anyone. And he said to her, do not mention this to anyone. Now the author, she continues and she says, وهذه القصة لها طرق يقوي بعضها بعضا, that this story, it has many chains of narrations and some and they strengthen each other, meaning that this story has been mentioned by many different chains of narration, although in them there are weaknesses in the chain, the weaknesses are not great or very strong weaknesses, so therefore the number of these chains, they strengthen one another until the hadith will be accepted. So she says, لها طرق يقوي بعضها بعضا فيحتمل أن تكون الآية نزلت في السببين معا. So she said that this narration here has many chains and they strengthen one another, so it could be understood possibly that this verse was revealed for both reasons. That this verse was revealed for both reasons. كما ذكره الحافظ في الفتح, just like الحافظ أي ابن حجر رحمه الله, he mentioned in فتح الباري, the explanation of صحيح البخاري. So she's mentioning here what the ulama have mentioned with regards to the reason for the revelation of this verse in Surah Al-Tahrim. And they have mentioned two reasons. One of them is because of the prohibition of the honey. The Prophet made that prohibited for him because of an issue that occurred. Likewise, between Hafsa and Aisha, radiallahu anhuma, or because of this issue here. Or because of this issue here that is being referred to with regards to Hafsa and Maria al-Qibtiyya, radiallahu anhun jami'an. So she says, وَإِذَا وَعَدَتْ أَنَّهَا تَكْتُمُ السِّرْ ثُمَّ أَفْشَتْهُ تُعَدُّ آثِمَةً. She mentioned here that if she had promised that she would not spread the secret, then she spread it, then she would be considered a sinner and sinning. And with regards to this narration, many of the ulama, they mention it's in reference to Hafsa and Aisha radiallahu anha with regards to the honey, the issue of the honey, which the author, she mentioned the narration will come in another chapter and we will discuss it then, insha'Allah ta'ala. But in any case, it is known that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he reprimanded them in this verse, or in this surah. Allah azza wa jalla reprimanded them in this surah, and then he offered them to make repentance. وَإِنْتَ تُوبَ إِلَى اللَّهِ فَقَدْ صَغَتْ قُلُوبُكُمَا. Na'am, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he had called them to make repentance. And what is known, that the methodology of Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah is that they don't believe that the companions are free from sin. Rather, they don't believe that anyone from the people are free of error, absolutely, except for the prophets and the messengers. They're the ones who have the ismah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be safe and to be free from error and falling into major sin. As for the rest of mankind and from amongst them, the companions, then they have that reality that they slip or fall into error. But the belief of the people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah with regards to those companions who had fallen into some type of a sin is that we believe and we have certainty that they have been given success to make tawbah from that, and that by making tawbah from their fault or their sin, this is in actuality a means to raise their rank, a means to raise their rank. So what has come in the text in reference to some of the companions, or what has been mentioned in the biographies of the scholars of hadith, and that has mentioned in the books with regards to the biographies of the companions and that which occurred between them, or mentioned of some of them maybe falling into a sin or the likes like this, then this is understood in this light. And this is what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he has mentioned in his book Minhajus Sunnah, rahimahullah ta'ala. He says, wa ahlus sunnati yaquluna ashabu dhunubi tabu minha wa rafa'a Allahu darajatihim bit tawbah. That the people who have sins, yani those people from the companions who fell into sin, then Allah Azza wa Jal gave them success to make repentance and sincere tawbah. And by way of this, Allah raised their ranks. By way of that tawbah, Allah Azza wa Jal raised their ranks. And with regard specifically to Hafsa and Aisha radiallahu anhuma, then Allah has invited them and called them both to make tawbah in the same chapter, rather in the very next verse. And it is known that whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam died, he was pleased with both of them, and they were both his wives, and they were both considered the mothers of the believers. Rather, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he died in the house of Aisha radiallahu anha on her chest. Nama, and the story is well known. So we know without a doubt that Hafsa and Aisha radiallahu anhuma, they repented from that action that they fell into, and this was a means for them to raise their ranks. And likewise, after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned to them and scared them, and he mentioned that if they did not rectify their situation, then Allah azza wa jal, he will give them wives that are more, that are better. عَسَى رَبُّهُ إِن طَلَّقَكُنَّ أَن يُبَدِيلَهُ أَزْوَاجًا خَيْرًا مِنْكُنَّ مُسْلِمَاتٍ مُؤْمِنَاتٍ خَانِتَاتٍ تَائِبَاتٍ عَبِدَاتٍ سَائِحَاتٍ طَيِّبَاتٍ وَأَبَكَارًا. He said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if he were to divorce you, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then his Lord would give him instead of you wives better than you. Meaning that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not in need of anyone. Allah Azza wa Jalla will suffice him and give him better if they were to persist upon their way. And then he would give them wives that are better, meaning Muslims who submit to Allah, believers who have strong iman, they're obedient to Allah, and they're turning to Allah in repentance sincerely, worshipping Allah alone with sincerity, and they are fasting for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and they also have been previously married or they're virgins. So this is what Allah mentioned, that if they had that if they did not repent from that action, then Allah would provide him with these types of women. But since they did repent, then these actual descriptions here are the descriptions of them. And meaning that Hafsa and Aisha radiallahu anhuma, they were from those Muslim women who were believers, and they were obedient to Allah, and they were repentant, and they were sincerely devoted in worship to Allah, and they were from those who fasted, and they are also from those who had been married previously and from the virgins. Like this, so those attributes that were mentioned that they were scared by way of, that Allah could replace them and give him wives like this, then by them submitting to the command of Allah Azza wa Jalla and repenting, and Allah accepting their repentance, then they have become themselves those women who were described with those beautiful traits. Those women who were described with those beautiful traits. In any case, Hafsa and Aisha radiallahu anhuma, they are the mothers of the believers, and they are the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this life and in the hereafter. And they have a lofty high rank and status with Allah Azza wa Jal, and likewise with the believers. And the believers they love the family of the Prophet and the wives of the Prophet, all of them, radiyallahu anhunna jami'an. So the author now she mentions, wallahu yaqulu wa awfu bi ahdillahi idha ahadtum. And now she mentions some other verses and proofs with regards to this issue, and then after that she will mention some narrations likewise to clarify the details of the prohibition of spreading secrets. And inshallah we continue in the next class. Hadha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.